Hello, lacrosse friends. Welcome once again to Box La Beat on NLL Radio, also available on iTunes via the Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I am Stephen Stamp, your host for the show and an editor at IL Indoor. Thanks so much for being with me. This week, it's all about Patrick Merrill, the new head coach and general manager of the San Diego Seals, the expansion team coming to the National Lacrosse League in the 2018-19 season. The move was announced on Tuesday, and these interviews are all recorded on Tuesday. Quick reaction to what has generally been met with widespread approval. Patrick Merrill, a lacrosse lifer, has played with the Toronto Rock for much of his professional career, one of the most decorated defenders in the history of the National Lacrosse League. He's won world championships with Canada. He's won Champions Cups with the Rock. He has helped to run the Hill Academy and will continue to do so. He does have some head coaching experience with the Junior A Six Nations Arrows of the Ontario Lacrosse Association, and he will be taking over a San Diego team that has a lot of positive buzz around it, and he is very excited to be part of it. I speak with Patrick Merrill. I also speak with Sandy Chapman, who has been a teammate of Merrill's for many years in both Brampton and Toronto in Major Series Lacrosse and the NLL, and has a lot of experience to bring to the fore and to bear on how he sees Patrick Merrill performing as a coach at the next level. And I speak to a player who's been coached by Patrick Merrill, both at the Hill Academy and with the Six Nations Arrows, Leo Sturos, now of the Georgia Swarm. So, Patrick Merrill, Sandy Chapman, Leo Sturos, everybody talking about his role with the San Diego Seals. Hope you enjoy it, lacrosse friends. This is Stephen Stamp on NLL Radio. Joining me on Box of Beat this week, the new head coach and general manager of the San Diego Seals, Patrick Merrill. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Trevor.
So, big day, certainly congratulations in order, and you must be pretty excited about getting this chance to lead a brand new team.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited, very thrilled to be a part of this organization for sure, and I'm pretty grateful for the opportunity.
So, for anyone who isn't familiar with your coaching background, because we haven't seen you coaching in the NLL, where you know a lot of guys who wind up coming in as head coaches will start out as assistants, but you have been the head coach in Six Nations, running the Junior A Arrows for three summers now.
Yeah. So, and again, I think I owe a lot of this to them because they gave me my first shot as a head coach at that level, and so yeah, I know that's hopefully some experience that I'll draw from moving on to the NLL. That being said, it's a new adventure for me. Mm-hmm. New challenges are going to be in front of me, but as well a new opportunity. So I'm looking forward to it, and also for me, from my perspective, I think I'm really excited for the next chapter of my career in lacrosse, and there's no better place to start, in my opinion. This is definitely my dream job.
Well, I've talked to Steve Govett about how things are going in San Diego. He is just thrilled with the response in the community, with the sponsorship sales that they've reached already for next season, with just the way that everything is rolling. I'm sure he's told you about that as well.
Yeah, so today was kind of my first, or actually yesterday and today were kind of my first 2 days in the office, and it's pretty amazing staff and great energy in here. I had a chance to be in the market this morning, and I'm going out this afternoon doing some interviews with different media outlets, and you know it's a real genuine positive buzz that's happening here, and I think they're hungry for another professional sports franchise to come to town, especially after the Chargers left. So you know everyone seems to be very excited, and the response here has been it's actually been pretty overwhelming. It's been pretty great.
And obviously, I mean, San Diego, a great town. I've been there for rowing regattas primarily. But I will say, I remember the one thing when we were going down there and they had us, the school, I was at University of Victoria, and they got us, a couple of us, to get special driver's licenses so we rented vans to drive the teams around, and that way we could drive the vans with all the people. And everyone was saying, oh my God, you're going to be driving in Southern California. It's horrible, da da da. And I was ready for it to be awful. And I remember one, we came up to a light, and you know, we're all figuring out as we go where we're going, and the guys are navigating and they say, oh, we got to turn left here, and we're like four lanes away from the left, and I was like, there's no way we're getting over there. I put my turn signal on just to see. Every single person just pointed us through. People are so friendly in San Diego. It's not like the LA Southern California high intensity thing that people think about. It's a very pleasant community.
It is. It really is, and I think you know, a lot of people here from, again, I haven't been here a whole lot yet, mm-hmm. but I am still really very much getting to know the city. But so far, I mean, actually, Josh Grosser, you know, that works for the team, mm-hmm. is mentioning now, you know, I'm very rarely going to hear someone honk their horn in this town, and you know, since I've been here, we've been all over the city doing interviews and things like that. I don't think I've heard someone honk a horn, and everyone's just really, really friendly. And I think a lot of people land up here as a destination to get away from a lot of the hustle and bustle in other places. And you know, again, when I woke up this morning, and Steve and I were going to grab a coffee before a crazy day, I had, you know, at least four or five people go out of the way and say hi and good morning and all that type of stuff. And it's, again, you can, you know, it's a pretty special city that way.
But hopefully there will be vocal fans, I'm sure. I mean, the Chargers fans obviously were very passionate and quite disappointed when the team left town, but they were a loyal fan base.
Yeah, 100%. Again, that's why I think it's they're very disappointed, and that's the general consensus here that, you know, after the team left. But you know, we're looking for a very enthusiastic crowd. We're expecting a very enthusiastic crowd, so. You know, obviously there's some work to be done to introduce lacrosse and the NLL and our entertainment value to the city, but the staff here with the Seals has done a really good job already, and you know, so we're, you know, I'm very confident that by the time the season starts, there hopefully will be many fans in the crowd, you know, bringing lots of energy and enthusiasm to the table.
Now, you're taking on the general manager's role as well. That's fairly new for you. As far as I know, you weren't the GM in Six Nations, but I'm sure you were very involved in player movement, player acquisitions, and things as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Six Nations organization has Jay Kenhawk and Scott Smith, so I definitely learned a lot from them. You know, they've involved me and asked for my input on certain players, mm-hmm. but for the most part, they took care of that stuff. So yeah, I mean, but I would say, you know, my experience also at the Hill has really helped. I think will help in terms of my role there and how it compares to being a general manager. Again, there's a lot to learn. I've done a ton of reading and a ton of homework, and there's lots more work to be done leading up to the expansion draft and the free agency period, as well as the entry draft. So, and I'm new. That being said, I mean, I think, you know, Steve has been involved as a GM in this league for a long time. And again, part of the reason why I chose to take this position was because of him. And I think we think very much alike. You know, he has the experience to mentor me, you know, into the role, into the position. So, you know, again, I'm the GM in name, but I'm certainly going to have a lot of the help around me.
It's a challenge when you start with an expansion team. You've got teams allowed to protect up to 11 players. So I know there's been a lot of debate over the last few years about how many, as expansion was coming, how many players teams should be able to pick. I'm sure that you would love it if they could only protect two or three at this point. But, you know, you have the access to some very good lacrosse players, but you're not getting, you know, among the top 10 players on teams. And then you do have high picks in the draft. Both the, you know, obviously the expansion draft, but in the entry draft as well. How big of a challenge is it to start building a roster from scratch?
Well, I mean, again, it's going to be a big challenge. challenge, you know. But for me, it's an opportunity. I mean, again, it's, you know, I almost have to pinch myself. I kind of was just a surreal feeling waking up and them announcing me as in position, because again, like this is my passion, right? And I'm really, really excited to have a clean slate in front of me, to be able to build the team however I see fit. And, you know, again, there's some restrictions, there's some constraints, there's some challenges ahead of us. But for me, I don't really look at it that way. I think, you know, I look at it more as an amazing opportunity that I'm going to work my tail off to make the most of. And like you said, I mean, you know, teams have the opportunity to protect players, and we have draft picks, and we have free agency, and resources are limited. That being said, I think there's a lot of great players out there that we will have access to, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about also looking into player situations and figuring out kind of whether they'd be a good fit for us. A lot that goes into it from a scouting perspective and from a research perspective, but that's the stuff that I really get a kick out of, and that I really get excited thinking about doing. So, and I can't wait to get started. So,
as a GM now, you're going to be, like you said, building a roster with players that you want. What is the description, or what is the style of player that you envision embodying the San Diego Seals?
Well, I mean, I think it's really tough to kind of from my perspective, you know, you gotta have a lot of different types of players to build a great successful team, in my opinion. That being said, you know, we want guys that are committed to, you know, a winning culture. You know, we want to start that from day one. We want guys that are competitive. You know, I think obviously, right, you know, in the beginning, you know, we want to focus on, you know, hopefully building a younger core that can be around and grow together for a long time here in the city. That being said, we're going to need guys that have experience in the league and hopefully experience with winning in the league and that are professionals that can help groom younger players and mentor younger players. So in terms of the style of play, you know, I think it's really going to depend on the players that we acquire from a coaching perspective. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, we want good character guys that are going to be good teammates, that are going to be committed, and that are going to be competitive.
I'm sure you'd be interested in a player, say, like a tall, veteran, lefty transition player who you might know fairly well. I know you can't say anything for tampering rules and stuff, but I'm sure it'd be a lot of fun if you get your brother out there to play, is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, I can't comment on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to be respectful of his situation, yeah. Toronto Rock and all that type of stuff. But, you know, so I just don't really want to comment one way or another on that.
Yeah, that was more of a bit of humor because, you know, it's not that often.
I understand. Obviously, you know, I'm his biggest fan and always have been and always will be. That being said, there's, you know, I have to be respectful to him and his family as well as to everybody, you know, and respect the rules as well. So I understand where you're going with that, but
Now, are you moving to San Diego, or are you still going to be in the Toronto area?
No, I'm still going to plan. I'm going to plan a commute for year one, and because I have a family in Toronto and still involved in the Hill Academy, and so, you know, it's going to be a challenging travel schedule for me next year. But you know, the hope and plan for the future is possibly eventually moving out here full time.
Right. See how it works out for you and the kids.
Pardon?
Oh, I say, see how it works out for you and the kids and your wife. And
Exactly.
Now, the obviously it's going to create some split loyalties with your folks, and I just have to point out some of the great lacrosse parents I have ever met. I remember coming up to the Hill Academy for a tournament and staying over in one of the houses on the campus, and your folks were so welcoming and so accommodating and such generous people that it's not hard to see where you and your brother get your character from, and the character of the kind of guys you want on the team, I would imagine.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think they would appreciate that as well. I mean, obviously, my parents are, are the biggest influences on, you know, on my life. Our family is extremely close, and everything, you know, everything that I know, I've learned from them. So, I really appreciate that. I mean, obviously they're, they're competitive too, and they want to see their boys do well. So, yeah, they're going back to, and they were really, really pleased when we were playing together in Toronto for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But, So the Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving get-togethers and things like that weren't as awkward, but they're pretty excited for me. So, they're awesome. But thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I still remember your mom bringing food to everybody and just such a mother, like making sure everyone had enough to eat, and she was just delightful.
Like most guys growing up, your mom is your kind of your main support system in a lot of ways. But I have to say I was very, very lucky, and so was Brody and my sister Tori. We grew up with two great coaches around all the time and teachers, and they both in their own way had massive influences on us from a sports perspective. Mm-hmm. So yeah, again, I appreciate that. Yeah. And so was she.
Now, one interesting thing, I mean, as you come into the GM and coaching ranks, and you talked about the competitiveness of your family, yourself, Brody, everybody, it's the case for most athletes as they get towards the end of their playing career. So many times it's kind of decided for them instead of them deciding. You had, some injury issues down the stretch that really limited your ability to play the way that you wanted to. I'm sure this is a chance for you to get those competitive fires stoked and going again.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think I was ready to the next chapter of my career, and I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to play as long as I did, it's not quite the same, and I think any coach would tell you that, but I love the game so much, and the game has done so much for me over the years that to get the opportunity to give back to it in this way and still have that passion and fire burning in my belly, keep that kind of fire burning, through a coaching career and being involved in a team the way I'm going to be with the Seals. It's like I said, I couldn't ask for a better opportunity, and I'm so thrilled to be able to do what I'm going to be doing.
How much do you feel that the, coaching in Junior A and running, being one of the people running the Hill Academy, so you're seeing lots of players there. So you have your eye on a lot of players in all facets of the game, field, box, and all over North America. How well has that prepared you for stepping into this? Obviously, there's going to be more to do to get ready with assessing players at the pro level, but it's probably a pretty good grounding for you, I would think.
It's pretty, because of the way the expansion draft set up and, what we have access to, there's a lot, it's a pretty vast player pool that I'm going to have to look into and scout and try to kind of pick players from, right? So the good thing about it is that I think that the game is changing in a good way, and it's going to be a gradual climb. But I do think that there are a lot of players that are not in the NLL right now that will be good NLL players in the future. So again, I love watching lacrosse. I love being around the rinks. I love talking to players. I love interacting with other coaches at all different levels, and I always have. And that was kind of my main role at the Hill. And still is to this day, was more on the recruiting side of things and assembling teams and also being involved in the coaching side of it. But I really love that aspect of the job, and so it's for me, that's not work, I just love it so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing kind of and comparing and contrasting the different types of players from all the different leagues. I mean, I think, as you know, Stephen, and I think you would agree, is that, you can, I think Western players, Canadian players have a different skill set than NCAA right now, mm-hmm. or in the MLL of the U.S. and obviously in different parts of the U.S. and different parts of Canada. You know, like Alberta, for example. You know, they're developing a lot of great players as well that have kind of unique skill sets to them. So I'm looking forward to kind of comparing and contrasting, and hopefully, like we were talking about earlier, you know, assembling guys that bring different types of strengths. And I think when you do that and they all kind of buy into a certain way of playing and a certain culture, I think it could create a pretty dynamic product.
You talked about the game changing, and it's a, you know, a different style of game, and embracing that. It's interesting because, I mean, you are the fourth on the career penalty minutes list, although Sean Evans is creeping up on you, but you are fourth.
Is he?
What's that?
He's not there yet?
No, he's a little bit behind. He's getting there, though. It'll be soon. But you're going to relinquish that. But, I mean, you're up there in the among the career penalty minute leaders, which is partly because you did play for a long time, but you played a robust game. And some of you know, the way the game is changing, it's maybe moving a little bit away from the physical side. But I like to tell when people say, oh, it's not a tough game anymore, I say, no, it's get down close and watch. It's still tough and physical, but it's more to protect player safety.
Right. I would agree with that. And I actually went to my first Raw game as a fan, as a spectator last week, and I was like, man, I couldn't even picture myself out there anymore. I think the game is moving in the right direction in terms of player safety, but I also believe that the guys are just bigger, faster, stronger, tougher than they were back in my day, and especially the early years where, you know, you could get away with holding guys and, you know, dirtying guys and you know, maybe being a little bit whatever. Now, you know, it's just, again, for the better, I think. It's just the speed is so different now. And I think it's just as aggressive, if not maybe even a little bit more physical, just on the level of athlete that's playing our game right now. And if you get up close, and I mean, it was pretty amazing. You know, holy moly, they can do that. Yeah. You know, I was with a family that never watched a game before, and it's like, wow, they were blown away by the physicality of it, the intensity level of it. So I don't think that's ever taken a step back, nor do I think we want it to.
Yeah, I do like to tell people, like I said, when people are fairly new to the game and they're blown away by a lot of the physicality and the skill, but I like to encourage people, if they get a chance, to go down and just spend a few minutes right by the boards. And that is where you really get a feel for how fast it is. I'm lucky enough that I have the opportunity to actually be like on the floor for practices and things. And then you can really get a feel for how fast guys are running and shooting. But just being by the boards and watching like loose ball battles, and you realize how intense the whole thing is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, I was very fortunate to watch the game pretty close by as well. And I mean, I was just, again, I'm just blown away by the skill level. You see the window in which guys are making decisions and making passes and catching passes and making moves and taking shots and playing defense. And man, it's just, you're right. You can't really truly get a sense of it unless you're that close. And again, I think that's what appeals to the NLL fans, is that I don't think you can really compare that to any other sport in that way.
Yeah. It's a great time to be involved on the other side with the Bleacher Report announcement that games are going to be broadcast very broadly, and the investment in the infrastructure and cameras and equipment and things. And there's so much happening with the expansion and with the growth of the game digitally and marketing-wise. It's pretty exciting to stay involved, right?
Well, absolutely. I think, the way, the conversations that I've had, it's the games, they're the best is yet to come. And there's so many exciting things that our owner, Joe, I think more expansion seems to be on the horizon as well. And I'm really thrilled that again, to see the game grow the way it is and to be a part of it. And so, Yeah, sorry to cut you off, Stephen, but I got to go run to another media engagement. So
no problem.
Sorry, they're just kind of motioning at me through the glass here. I got to get going. So
I was just going to let you finish that one and say thanks so much for taking the time to be with me. So good luck with everything, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
My pleasure. Take care, Stephen.
All right, bye for now. Joining me on Box the Beat is a longtime teammate of Patrick Merrill, Sandy Chapman. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, long time, it may be an understatement. You guys have played together. I think there's about 10 seasons you were on the Toronto Rock together between, you know, you going to Rochester for a bit and Patrick going to Orlando and things. And you've also played together with the Brampton Excelsiors for many years. So, I mean, how many seasons would you say you have spent on the same team?
Seasons probably on 15 or so, I think, like 7 or 8 in Brampton, and 8 or 9 in Toronto there, both tours of duty. So we definitely got to play together quite a bit.
So among people in the game today, you probably have about as good an idea as anyone of his potential as a coach, in particular general manager as well, because I'm sure you've had plenty of conversations, you've talked about lacrosse, you've seen his leadership, his approach to the game, his lacrosse IQ, and the way that he carries himself. What do you think of his prospects as a coach and GM?
Yeah, I think, even at the, later on in his career, you could definitely see that he had the ability to lead people. He's always had that capability. I mean, he's a natural leader, so I don't think that's ever been an issue. And then I think just a guy who picks up, the little things about what guys are doing and always able to give a good scouting report on guys, especially when, we're talking defensive guys, what our offensive guys are going to look to be doing on us. So, somebody knows a ton of players now with his running with the Hill and then coaching junior lacrosse. And he's obviously got the IQ for it, and he's been doing his scouting and coaching at the junior rank. So he knows the players too. So I think he's ready for success in the NHL, and I think this is a great opportunity for him.
You talked about scouting opponents and looking at tendencies and figuring out what they're going to do and things. Obviously, a big part of running a team as a GM or as a coach is self-scouting, seeing what your team is doing, recognizing what your strengths and weaknesses are and how to play up the former and avoid the latter and strengthen the weaknesses. What have you seen from that perspective in terms of, being on the floor with him and him knowing how you guys can adjust to things?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that really took from him, and I think our team has actually kept going forward, is the idea that, they're scared in the other team, but if really you play the way that your team plays the way that you want to, you can really, cause more good that way than worrying about what the other team does. So, if they're worried about what you're going to do, more so than you're worried about what they're going to do. So I think that's something that he, used to preach as a player. I'm sure he'll do it as a coach. And, again, comes back to for him, when I think about him and, and the things he's told me or told us, it's really focused on the little things, and those little things add up to big things. And I think that's something, as a player on his team, details are going to be something that he's really going to focus on, because I know when I played with him, that was definitely always wanting to make sure that we focused on those little things to make sure that, we put the other team in a bad spot.
So it's the early in the 2018-2019 season, and the Toronto Rock are traveling out to San Diego to play the Seals. They've played a few games. They're just starting to get a feel for who they are. What kind of team do you anticipate them being? What if they take on his personality as an approach to playing? What do you anticipate you'd run into?
I mean, number one, I think everybody who played with Patty or played against him knows he's a fierce competitor. There's somebody who's going to do anything to win. He's going to really grind it out there, no matter what you know, what the score or what the score is, what the situation is, you're always going to get the, you're always going to get his best effort, and I'm sure that'll parlay into his team, you know, 100%. So, no matter what happens, I'm sure it would be a tough team to play against, one where you're gonna, you know, take some whacks and really have to grind out any type of game, because yeah, you know, that's the way Paddy played, and I'm sure his team will take on that.
And as a D first guy, he's had some pretty good offensive teams in Six Nations, but they really have become renowned for their defensive approach too. I mean, that team with some, I mean, Austin Stotts and some of the other star offensive players, I think the team the last couple of years has been among the best defensive junior teams I've ever seen.
Believe it. I mean, I think one big thing, you know, there's offensive stars, but I'm sure they were, you know, everybody was always about buying into the team concept, and I'm sure it was defense first in a lot of those situations, and making sure that, you know, they're not getting run on, no transition is happening against them, making sure people are in the right spots on the offensive side of the floor. But again, I think it goes back to, from his defensive point of view, I mean, you can always scout the other team, but if you're doing your job on the defensive end and pushing them into bad spots, you're going to be very successful.
Appreciate you taking the time to give us some further insight into Patrick Merrill, the new, I can't call him Pat because of his mom. I think that everyone's the same way, right? It's too confusing.
Yeah. Patty Merrill, that works here too, you know.
Patty's good too. But yeah. The new GM and coach of the goal of the San Diego Seals. Thanks, Chappie.
Thanks so much, Gina.
Joining me on Box will be to talk about Patrick Merrill, the new head coach and GM of the San Diego Seals, Leo Sturris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How'd I do on the name? Because we talked about it before the season. I've always said it's Sturris, and I checked with you this year to help Graham Perro with his pronunciation guide. So, Sturris.
Yeah, like thermos.
Yeah, except no M.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a little tricky because the M gives you a little bouncing off point into the second syllable, whereas here it's the R is softer. So it's not really relevant to this discussion, but I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I've been asked many times.
All right. So the reason I'm calling you about this, or we're talking about this, is you had a chance to play for Patrick Merrill when you started coaching the Six Nations Arrows in Junior A. I believe you were a Defensive Player of the Year that year, and you've now gone on and established yourself as a solid defender in the National Lacrosse League. So you've seen Patrick in the junior ranks, and you have an idea of what it takes to coach successfully in the National Lacrosse League. So I'm curious of your view of Patrick and his preparation.
Yeah, no, I actually, I first was under Patrick at the Hill Academy where I met him.
Right.
I actually did a test for him. He was the first person I met at the Hill Academy. And he was the dean of admissions at the time, and kind of learned under him and Brody at the Hill. He kind of taught me defense, and I became a bull with him and Brody teaching me. And then, obviously, like you said, with the Junior A Arrows, mm-hmm. he came my last year. Mm-hmm. So his first year was my last year, and we actually won a Minto that year together in his first year. And he kind of helped me grow as not only as a leader for a team, but as a leader as a person on and off the field. And I think he's a really good players coach in that way of not just teaching the game, but teaching the right way to be a person and the right way to lead. So I think he's going to be great for the NLL.
And obviously a bit of a difference coaching at the Hill Academy, which is a high school that's a private school in Vaughan, Ontario, near Toronto, for anyone who's not familiar with it. And he's coached junior, but that's a little different than coaching men at the professional level. How do you see his work? Like you said, he's a player's coach. How do you see that translating to the pro game?
I think it's great. You see a lot of guys, well, my coach, you know, Eddie Como, he was a former player, and Sean Ferris, and then you look at young guys like Bruce Codd with the Toronto Rock. I think you're seeing a kind of a trend, but a positive one. We're men, like you said, we know the right way to act and conduct ourselves. So you really need a coach in there that's going to teach you, you know, a couple tips and a couple pointers here and there. We have a great guy like Dan Lattisore on our team. He's actually working out the Odor, and he was a great D player for the Toronto Rock, right? So I think it's a good trend. I think he's going to be great for the Seals.
How much or how does the balance work between, I mean, coaching guys individually, like you said, giving guys tips, helping guys work? I mean, obviously on your team, Sean Ferris is working a lot with Zed Williams because he's coming from Senior B and switching to a more defensive role than he was where he played offense before and working individually with him, but also setting a system, making sure guys are buying into the system and there's a consistency across. I mean, how do you strike that balance as a coach between individual and group coaching?
Yeah, I think he did a good job. You know, it was kind of different at the Hill, but with the Arrows, I remember him most of all. You know, doing film sessions with the new guys in the team or the younger guys. You know, and I even remember at the Hill we used to do film sessions, so he would always be great with that. And then also in the way of team based, he's great in the way of, you know, teaching a system, implementing it, and then kind of letting us run it and learning it on our own, and teaching the kind of leaders the right way to do it, making sure they're on base so they can teach the younger guys. So, yeah, I think he's great for both.
All right. I just wanted to talk to some folks who have I've talked to Sandy Chapman, who played with him, and now you, who's been coached by him, and will be, it would look like, be playing against him in the near future. So I'm sure you want him to do well, but not too well against Georgia.
Exactly, exactly. No, it'll be exciting.
Appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
No, thanks for having me on.
All right, lacrosse friends, that'll wrap things up for this episode of Box LaBeat on NLL Radio. Remember, you can also find it on iTunes via Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I am Stephen Stamp, your host and an editor at IL Indoor. My thanks to Patrick Merrill, who I think it appears everyone agrees is going to be a terrific coach and GM for the San Diego Seals, to Sandy Chapman and to Leo Sturris. And thanks again to you, lacrosse friends, who make it worth doing the podcast. You're the reason we do this, and I hope you've enjoyed it, and always happy to hear from you. You can reach me via Twitter, at StampLax. It's probably the best way. If you have comments, if you want to share anything, if you have somebody you'd like to hear on the show, I am more than open to suggestions for people that you would love to hear on Box LaBeat on NLL Radio. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.